You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
And welcome in, Sal Montes here on Minor Talk, joined by Alberto. He's right across the glass. UTEP Zay will be joining us in a bit. No Adrian Broaddus today. We're holding the fort down for our guy. But we do have Minor Talk, and it's brought to you by Jack in the Box, with 15 locations open 24/7 in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. We're going to recap the game. We'll get your thoughts. We'll see what's your take on it. We'll also have the Win Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game Award, and also the Oscar Arieta Agency Player of the Game, and stat watching. If you want to do that, there's some names that'll pop out, but we'll kind of dive a bit deeper into that. You can for sure check us out on Twitter at 600 ESPN El Paso. So my handle at Sal Manila. Alberto is at Alberto underscore LGO, and UTEP Zay, you guessed it, at UTEP Zay. So give us some tweets. We'll recap it. Just be sure to use the hashtag Minor Talk so it comes our way. But Alberto, let's get started, man. UTEP getting the win over Seattle, 88-72. It wasn't wire to wire. They were down 3-0, but just going through it all. UTEP dropping 88 points. A different feeling this time around against the WAC team as opposed to the last, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely a different feeling. Four minors in double digits, a whopping four minors in double digits. You would love to see that. Ahmad Bynum with 19, so that was great to see. I know he had at one point, let's check how many he had in the second half. Yeah, Ahmad Bynum, 12 of those points, all in the second half. So it was a great game. I know the minors really slowed down at the second half, but they got it done today.
Yeah, and slowing down, I know that the lead was like 20s, ranging anywhere in the 20s, right? And for Seattle, they kind of pull within 16, but that's all garbage points on either side, really, not just for Seattle, but UTEP not winning by that 20-plus, which is no big deal. Everybody comes out of this one, healthy, so to speak, relatively healthy in that regard. So a clean finish for the Miners, 16-point victory. And we were talking in our group chat today about some stock going up on one of these guys. I'm trying to remember who drafted this guy, but Kevin Kalu, only 16 minutes today, but 13 points. He's 5-for-6 overall from the field, of course, but 3-for-3 from the charity stripe, and 4 boards to his credit. Does get 3 fouls, but does have a pair of blocks and a steal. So a good game for the big guy. But speaking of another guy who's a lot bigger than most on the floor, Otis Frazier III cashing in with 18 points, 6-for-9 from the field. Perfect from the charity stripe, and UTEP impressive from the line as well. Overall, a 17-for-19 look. Something that fans have been wanting to see from this Miners team under Joe Golding. Finally this year, you're seeing more, not I don't want to say respectable, but more than respectable numbers from the free throw line.
Yeah, and in seasons past, we've seen these minor teams really struggle from the charity stripe, and that's something that you really couldn't have, especially when they had a lot of deficiencies in other sides. So to see them shoot 89% from the charity stripe, that's phenomenal. You love to see that, and you hope that continues, especially into conference play.
Oh, most definitely. You do want to see that. And what we also want to see is we want to get your thoughts. Give us a tweet at 600 ESPN El Paso. Just be sure to use the hashtag Minor Talk so it comes across our way. But we want to get your thoughts as well. You can give us a call, 915-505-6009. Let's repeat that, 915-505-6009. And UTEP, once again, coming away 88-72. Over Seattle. And I'm not gonna lie to you guys, I was kind of checking this game in and out. I had a lot going on earlier throughout the day, but the parts that I did catch, some hustling by the Miners, specifically when it comes to crashing the glass. And lo and behold, UTEP finishes with 31 rebounds as opposed to Seattle's 27. Is that right, Alberto? Am I reading that correctly? Are we watching it correctly? UTEP out-rebounding Seattle and the Miners coming away with four more boards, something that I guess a little bit surprised, but not surprised that it would happen at least a couple times. So UTEP playing big, and we get none other. Speaking of big, our guy here, it's the big man, UTEP Zay, stepping into the studio. I'm always on the other side of the board, so let's see. Go ahead and give me a mic check, Zay.
Mic check.
All right, now we know which mic it is. UTEP Zay, welcome on to Miner Talk, guy who just came from the Haskins Center. Before we dive into your thoughts on the game, what was it like as far as being a media member after the game this time around? It's the first game in almost, what, 3+ weeks. I'm sure guys were chomping at the bits to get some information from the team.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was excited to be back in the Don Haskins Centers. From the media members all the way down to, you know, the players themselves. And they said that in the press conference, you know, it had been a long time since they played in the Don Haskins Center. So they treated us to a really, really nice game. I mean, Joe Golden said it himself. This was perhaps at least the first half, he said, was probably the best, you know, any team has ever played under him, you know, at UTEP. And I saw that. I mean, they jumped out to a 20-point lead. It was 32-12 at one point. That defense was absolutely, you know, they were playing UTEP basketball, and the shots were falling. And when that happens for UTEP, it's a scary sight, you know. It's a scary sight because they play really, really good. They played together. I mean, Ahmad Bynum, what a game from him. Just overall, it was a very, very fun game to view.
Yeah, and looking at it pretty much on all phases, right, when you look at basketball in different areas, offense, defense, and whatnot, just being really efficient on both ends. We were talking about this, too, as you were walking in, but UTEP getting four more rebounds, and I know number-wise they do have more, but I think you could really see those numbers by way of the effort and them crashing the glass and playing a lot bigger today.
But yeah.
Not only that, guys, they held Seattle U to 27 rebounds. That's a season low for them. So that's
there
cool
because
they were averaging 37.5 coming in over the last four games.
That's huge. So being able to take away a point of attack, so to speak, on there, and like, we're going to use our strength, and UTEP, you know, like, all right, we'll see. We'll use our athleticism and see what goes on. But no, just a great game and a lot of names when it comes to the numbers. A lot of guys who dressed up being able to play. If I'm not mistaken, was it everybody who dressed up played today? Is that the case?
I think so. Babacar played, Antoine Holmes played, and Jordan Hernandez was not dressed out. So, yeah. I think everybody who was in uniform played for the Miners today.
There we go, and let's do this. I'm going to try and put these phones on. Let's do this right here, and we're going to go ahead and jump on out to Brian, who's online too. I always see Adrian struggle with these buttons.
Yeah, that's the Mr. Incredible button.
Man, I'm trying this, guys.
Almost.
You want me to throw him on over here?
There we go. I got him. If you know what, nice. If this happens again and it takes longer than 3 seconds. Don't even warn me. Just do it, man. Put me on my misery. But nah, we have Brian online too. Brian, you're in on Miner Talk. What's going on? UTEP wins today.
What's up, y'all? It's a really good win for UTEP. You know, they're coming into this game as sort of it was going to be a close match in which Seattle was predicted to win. Well, we turned that around and we won in huge fashion. Such a good win for the Miners. They really need this going into Louisville, who just lost to OU and Ole Miss, respectively. So. Mm-hmm. If they can keep this up, I don't see why this team can be really, really good going forward. We have the talent. And I don't know if it was Zay or someone else who tweeted this, but he said that this is not the same UTEP team as last year. It's better. And I'm really hopeful for the Miners going forward.
Yeah, I mean, so far it does appear. Oh, there we go. Well, thank you for the call, Brian. I was going to get some more thoughts. We appreciate you calling in, and I think as far as like being a better team than last year, it's hard to say. And this is no knock whether it is or it isn't. Last year's team got hot, so I think that kind of shows like where the ceiling was. I think they played up to the ceiling, you know, in that final part of the year. So if you're judging off of that, you do have those expectations. going into this year. And if you didn't, at least this game helps you feel a lot better about making that statement. But no, man, as far as Louisville goes, that's going to be a fun one. Obviously, we know the power that Louisville is, but the best part is it's not too far away, guys. It's only on Wednesday. So I don't want to say it's fool's gold, you know what I mean? But you can still kind of feel kind of having that smooth type of motion going into the game, as opposed to being cold and waiting as long as a week plus.
Yeah.
No, I think this is a win you can build off of, and especially since that Louisville game, I mean, that's a road game. It's going to be difficult to judge because, like I said, it's a road game.
Yeah, and Zay, I do want to get your thoughts. Now that you're here, we can kind of talk about the game itself. But as far as fantasy goes, not looking too bad on your side, huh?
Yeah. It was a very enjoyable game because I was looking at my three guys, and I guess Babacar even played a little. So
yeah,
it was nice to see that because usually, you know, to start the season, DeCannon Wick wears out. He hasn't played at all, and he's part of my team. So I, by default, get like the rest of the team who wasn't picked, like Babacar, Antoine. So he played a little bit, but I mean, Ahmad Bynum, man, 19 points. He's one. I think he's the best three-point shooter in college basketball right now by the stats, by numbers.
Okay.
He's like 19 to 30 on the season. He's only missed 11 three-pointers. He's taken 30. So, I mean, he is a high-level scorer. And today, I mean, he showed his scoring ability. He was getting to the rack really, really easily. He was finishing at a high clip. And overall, he was a fun player to watch. And then I don't have either of the bigs or, you know, I don't have a single big on my team right now, and they played big today. Yeah, they played big today. I mean, 50 points in the paint. Kevin Kalu, a really, really good game. 13 points, 4 rebounds. I think it's the most points he's had.
It is a career high. Yeah,
it's a career. Wow. And then, you know, even Elijah Jones got in on the fun. We always see, you know, Derek Hamilton get his nice couple of buckets. So overall, it was nice to see UTEP play big. I mean, their big men really came out to play. And I think if that happens over the course of the season, UTEP's going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah, and to see them, you know, get this kind of continuity from everybody was huge today. So speaking of continuity, let's keep the lines going. I'm going to try this one. I got it, guys, within 1 second. That's what I'm talking about. And it's none other than our guy, Jason Craig. Jason, long time, man. We're so glad to have you on. What was it like out there?
Oh, energy was nice, of course. How's everybody doing over there at the studio? Shout out to everybody. I saw Zay out there. Making his rounds. Man, what a game. What a game. They played very, very well. I saw a lot. I felt grit. I felt like there was a lot of grit going on. It was just hands, just, just getting after it. They were really getting after it today. It was such a good game. It was refreshing to see. And I just think if they play like this for the rest of the season, I mean, it's something nice, you know?
Yeah.
And so as my part, I just want to encourage all of El Paso and UTEP fans, just come out to some of these games. It's really, really fun to watch this team. And like you guys said earlier with the free throws, oh my gosh, 80-something%.
Yep.
At the line, like, wow, man, after the last three seasons of just disappointment at the line. And we have said this before, you're over 60, you can win a game easily at the line.
Yeah, and with their style of play too, the aggression that they play with, that grinded out grit style, it's going to slow down, and there's no more slowing down than when the clock is actually stopped, and that's how you're going to be able to either get back in a game, win a game, or pull away and get that lead a lot higher. So I do want to ask you though, Jason, since we have you, I know the next one is on Monday, December 16th. That one is Teddy Bear Toss. Wanted to ask you, have you been part of one out there? And if so, what's it like?
Part of a Teddy Bear Toss?
Yeah.
I believe this is a first one. I'm not
there
sure. I've never really experienced this one. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You guys should come out. Everybody that is listening, bring a teddy bear, man. Bring a teddy bear out. You know, it's for a good cause. So make sure you bring out a teddy bear for that game on the 16th, the Monday night. It's going to be fun. So, definitely come out for that. That's going to be something. And, you know, it's the holidays, man. It's the holidays. You got to give.
Yeah, everybody right now is doing their holiday shopping. So pick up a teddy bear and take it out to the Haskins Center. That one's Monday, December 16th. You can hear our guy.
I do believe that if you bring a teddy bear, I think you get like 50% off the ticket or something like that. So there is an incentive on getting a teddy bear, man. Go get a teddy bear and just come out to the Don, man.
There you go. Jason, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much. Keep on doing what you're doing and rocking out at the Haskins Center.
Love you guys. See you later.
Much love. That's our guy, Jason Craig. Man, guys, feels like not too long ago he was in here chopping up highlights for the Chihuahuas. And, I mean, this guy's a wizard behind the boards, not just the DJ boards, but, you know, radio station boards and whatnot. So shout out to Jason Craig. And speaking of, I know that Tarleton State is the next home game, but as far as Louisville goes, it's an earlier one. Want to preface that it's a 5 o'clock tip-off, so we'll start that broadcast at 4:30 on Wednesday. You can catch it all right here, 600 ESPN El Paso. Let's go on over to Twitter and pulling out what's going on right here. This one from Brian, if I'm not mistaken, this may be the same one who called in, but if not, my apologies. Either way, he tweets out, "We came into this game thinking we were going to have a close match. Turns out it was the complete opposite. This is the kind of momentum swing UTEP needs to continue to win more games. This is one of the better." Oh, there it is. All right. It's the same guy. He said it's one of the, it's better than the teams we've had in the last few years. So, all right. Want to know what you guys think about that as far as saying this team is better than either last year's or the ones from previous years. It's kind of too early to tell on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's way too early to tell. We see this year after year from UTEP, right? They'll have a pretty nice start in the non-conference slate. And I think when we'll know for sure how good this team really is January, right? Conference play comes, and maybe after those first three. I mean, they start, like you said, you know, the other game, they have three straight home games, you know, start conference play, and those are three quality opponents, right? So if you can win those three and then go on the road and steal a couple, then I think, you know, that claim would be valid. But at least at this point, too early to tell. However, you know, you see the signs, right? The seeds are in there. If this team can put it all together, yeah, I do think they would be the best.
There we go. Alberto, what about you?
Yeah, I think they're more skilled. I think they're deeper in the skill positions, and I think that it's also going to be about getting hot like the team did last year. So I'm just going to really hang my hat on that. If they can get hot late like the other team did, then good things will come.
Yeah, and we've seen this team be not only capable of it, but kind of cash in, you know, at the right time for a good portion of the game. So let's go on back out to the phone lines. We have Rustin calling in. Rustin, UTEP, they win this one. What's your thoughts? Did you expect it to go this way?
I expect it to go this way every game.
There we go.
I mean, if you say no, then you're not a UTEP fan. But so number one, I'm going to start this way because I'm calling from Houston.
All right.
So number one, I hope my father's listening on the way home. I think this is season ticket year 27 or 30, around there. So, you know, to my father who's traveling back, he's 75 years old, and if he's on his way home, he said, "Man, I just want one time," you know, he's an 80s person, "where I can say that they're playing good." And let me tell you, Dad, there was one part in the first half where this team is a little bit different than any team Coach Golding has had. And it was when, it wasn't Bynum, but the other new guy, I can't remember his name right offhand.
Devin
Barnes?
Was it Barnes?
Yeah, probably.
Barnes. He dives on a ball and just to see Golding's reaction and pushing the player like, that's UTEP basketball. Hey, look, if you don't like basketball or you're going to complain about UTEP basketball this year, man, get a transfer in and dive in on the balls at the beginning of the season and Golding that pumped up just to see somebody dive on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dad, I think you're in for a season. I could care less about playing Louisville just because of how you know, NCAA works and how they pick teams now. I think you're in for some basketball, and I would just watching that, it reminded me of being back in El Paso. It reminded me of watching UTEP versus BYU in three overtimes when I was a young kid, and Zay, those were my young years. So this is a different basketball team. My little son's favorite player is Tay, and till this day he keeps up with Tay. Hey guys,
wow, cool.
If you want to see defense, these guys are nasty. These guys are nasty. I mean, these are just, it's crazy nasty. I don't know how good ACC basketball is. Like I said, I don't care, but these dudes are nasty. And I think you said it yourself, Sal. Second half was, I know it's not the point. It's like they had a lot of guys in there that are not the starters.
Mm-hmm.
This team is nasty on defense. All I'm going to say is that, guys, you watch it. Hey, Sal, if you guys come to Houston, I'm going to be in Sam Houston State, and we're going to watch a team at both Sam Houston State and Louisiana Tech. But, hey, man, that was a game that first part, different players. If you want to know, I don't know if they're better because I can't let my boy Tay go away. But, man, some nasty defense, man. That is some crazy defense.
Hey, Russ, really quickly, what's up? What's your dad's name?
His name is Ron.
Ron, all right, Ron, shout out to you, and you heard it from other than Rustin right here. Rustin, we appreciate you, man. Thank you for the invite when they're out in Huntsville and also Rustin, Louisiana. So we'll keep an eye on that, man. Much appreciated.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Man, what an endorsement on the defense. What about you guys? You all in on this defense.
Yeah, I was really surprised the way they were, you know, early, able to amass steals, blocks, and just turnovers, force turnovers on the other team, and then score off those turnovers. That was awesome. And then they were able to just sustain that the entire way through. And you got to love the way they play their defense. It was really, really impressive. They finished the game with, 14 steals and 3 blocks. That's impressive if you continue to have that. If you have over 8 steals a game, I think you're in a great position. And just to kind of comment on what Rustin said, that's awesome. I may take him up on that Sam Houston invite because my parents live close up there. My parents live like 45 minutes from Sam Houston, so I may definitely go up there. Thank you so much for that call. That one was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And you know, when he talked about his teams as a youth, I mean, I'm obviously envious because my teams as a really, really young child are those late Tim Floyd years and, you know, the Phil Johnson year and the early Rodney Terry. It was bad. I mean, nobody should be raised off the type of basketball that I was watching. But I'm glad that there is UTEP is now, they're competitive. And, you know, like I talked about, he says that I'm talking about that makes you believe that this could be, you know, the most talented team in the Joe Golden era. But, you know, the jury's still out. We'll have to see. This game against Louisville, it'll tell us a good amount, right? If they're competitive for, you know, a half, even into the second half against, you know, a really, really much improved Louisville team, then, you know, we might have a pretty good team on our hands. But
yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing if that defense can carry over on the road itself. I mean, it doesn't even matter where you want to send them. I'm sure that mentality on defense is going to remain. But Louisville, one of the more tougher places to play at, so definitely looking forward to it. But another thing I wanted to mention is we had Rustin talk about the play by Barnes, and what I love most is that's his biggest takeaway from the game, right? That big play, something that embodies what UTEP basketball under Golden is about. And this guy finishes with, and these are just numbers at this point, because if you watch him play and you don't look at the box, it doesn't really seem that it was that way. But Barnes finishes with 3 points. He's only 1 for 6 overall and 1 for 5 from beyond the arc. So that one, of course, being behind the line, but gets 4 boards and 4 assists and 1 turnover. Don't even care about those numbers when you're out there giving that type of hustle. Also 21 minutes, but I mean, these guys, man, these guards are just ferocious when it comes to defense. I'm really looking forward to seeing what they could do next month. I know I'm kind of jumping far ahead, but Conference USA, and we'll kind of dig deeper as the season goes on, but they open up conference play with 3 straight home games, being against some of the more notable teams in the conference. La Tech is first up. Then it's Sam Houston, who they faced last year in the tournament, and then they get their rival, New Mexico State. So something fun and interesting to add into the trio of conference games when it comes to opening up conference play at the Haskins Center. But what we're going to do really quickly, before we take the break, let's go back to Twitter. Let's see what's going on when it comes to Twitter. And this one from PickMyAxe915. UTEP team. Consistency is what will make or break this team, but it's looking good. Second half was sloppier, but they closed it out. And then a part two, he says, and Ahmad Bynum has to be one of the smoothest athletes UTEP has had in a long time. That guy comes close athletic to me. The guy that comes close athletically to me is Randy Culpepper. Wow. Randy Culpepper, RC3. Zay, you were talking about missing some of those days, but I know for a fact you saw those Randy Culpepper highlights. What do you think?
Yeah, I did see those Randy Culpepper highlights, and he was like 5'10", right? He was 5'10", and he was dunking like insanely craziest dunks I've ever seen. I saw a video of him dunking athletically. Will ever compare to that to ever come through at UTEP, but I feel like Ahmad Bynum, he's as close as you're going to get, right? He can make those acrobatic layups. He can, you know, really, really run in transition. He's a fast guy. And that's saying something. You know, he might be the fastest on team. Ahmad Bynum, he's kind of fast, quick. He has it all. You know, the repertoire to be a really, really star player. And you're starting to see him kind of be unleashed. And I know he comes up, you know, in his post game, but he says, you know, UTEP needs a spark off the bench, right? We've seen over the years UTEP can struggle, you know, offensively in some periods. Right, they go kind of blank. They're unable to do much for about 3-4 minutes. When you have a guy like that to come off the bench and kind of cast those you know dry spells away, it's really really useful. So I like him coming off the bench. You know, he's a little you know fresh leg. I'm really excited for his development throughout the year.
88 points scored by the Miners today. 44 of those bench points.
Wow. And that's the much needed depth. And the fun part, guys, is it was by design, too. I know that they're aggressive and foul trouble may peak here and there, but didn't appear to be much of a factor, if any factor at all, for these guys.
Yeah, it didn't. And it was so nice to see UTEP kind of just flex their depth like that. And you got contributions from everybody, even Baylor Hebb. You know, yep. He's seen his time kind of diminish. He was playing good. One thing I want to point out, I mean, Otis Frazier had 5 assists. I think David Terrell had, you know, 3 or 4.
Yeah.
They were really, really, you know, everybody on the court. Most of those guards, they were distributing the ball really, really well. Corey Camper was distributing the ball really, really well. So when, you know, he having that ability to get the ball out, distribute it to your teammates. I'm talking about these guards more because Corey Camper, right? He comes from Las Vegas. He's had a career stretch of games, and today he's not able to score much.
Yeah.
He's able to, you know, distribute the ball around to his teammates, get them to wide open shots. I mean, that's so huge. That's so huge.
And especially when, I mean, we're talking about now, you don't, and I'm going to do air quotes here, when you don't contribute to that page as much as others, but you're able to stay on the floor, that says something. That says that the flow of the game is something that you're commanding. It's not going to show up on a stat sheet, but you're able to kind of, if not dictate, at least help dictate or be part of that continuity, that cohesion out there that's keeping you in control. So Corey Camper, and let me put air quotes again, the numbers here, just 8 points. He's 3-for-9 overall, 25% from beyond the arc, going 1-for-4. But he's able to get 3 rebounds, 4 assists, and it does get 3 turnovers, but in 29 minutes of play. So Sky, 8 points, but in 29 minutes, and pulled. So these minutes don't, you know, they don't really tell the full story, but pulled because of the blowout. Just a big, big factor for these Miners. And, man, such a nice stretch of guards here. But what we're going to do, guys, we'll read one more tweet because another one just came in. But this one from Troy Politz at LSU6511 says, this team is different than last year. Great ball movement and relentless defense. Barnes and Bynum are great additions by Golding. Hamilton and Kalu are much improved, too. picks up. So that one coming in from Trey. We'll read all of your tweets. Just be sure to put the hashtag Minor Talk so it comes our way. Send us a tweet at 600ESPN El Paso. Give us a call at 915-505-6009 to get in on Minor Talk. And once again, Minor Talk, it is brought to you by Jack in the Box with 15 locations open 24/7 in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. So check us out on Twitter at 600ESPN El Paso. But before you do, be sure to check out Jack in the Box just down the street from us. But what we're going to do, guys, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back in just a couple of moments, and we'll continue Minor Talk right here on 600ESPN El Paso.
What's a black grand national? Being rational, giving what they ask for. It's not enough. Few solid left, but it's not enough. Few that are really stuck, but it's not enough.
And welcome back to Minor Talk. It's brought to you by Jack in the Box. 88 points, guys. It's not enough. Like Kendrick said, should have scored at least 89. No, UTEP able to get the blowout win, not wire to wire, but you know, as good as it gets when it comes to playing at home. 88-72 over Seattle. And you are listening to Minor Talk. It's brought to you by Jack in the Box with 15 locations open 24/7 in El Paso and Las Cruces. Jack in the Box is the perfect spot before and after every game. Later on, we'll talk about the Wind Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game and the Oscar Arrieta Agency Player of the Game. And we're talking about the numbers earlier, about the style of play that they displayed today. And the defense, man, just getting people hyped, getting people bought in. And speaking of people who are bought in, doesn't have to be bought in after this game. He was born into this. This is a guy who lives and dies with UTEP. None other than Joe Chacon. He sends us a tweet. Before I read it, I want to let everybody know we saw Joe Chacon over at the district right down the street from us a couple weeks ago, a couple games ago. Shout out to Joe, a really cool dude. He sends us this tweet. One of the best performances of a Coach Joe Golding team yet. Y'all see that giant we have on the bench get in the game? I can't wait for Babacar to develop. He's going to be a big-time threat for us in the future. That's coming from Joe Chacon. And you know we got to do the hashtags. We have to read them. And I'm sure he's got more coming our way. And let's get to it. He puts hashtag repping from El Chuco now. Hashtag Minor Talk. Hashtag Sal is my pal. Hashtag Albert Chuco. I know you were waiting for that one, Alberto. We all were. And then hashtag Brock is my OG. So shout out to Joe Chacon. Really good insight like there on hashtag. Joe. He's got the hashtag game on lock, huh?
Albert Chuco, that's good. That one's good.
We gotta get one for Zay. What do you think the hashtag should be for you, Zay?
I have no clue. I have no clue. I think I have a hashtag. I think he's had it. I think there's a hashtag in there. Like, if I go through his tweets, I'll be able to find a hashtag that has Zay in it. But
you know what? That's right. Yeah. There are some. But man, Zay's got the insight here. So we're gonna need all the cool hashtags. Let's come up with some more, Joe. Let's do a Zay hashtag contest. I'm down with it.
Best one wins.
Right on. UTEP once again with the win today. The blowout win at home. And honestly, guys, I mean, UTEP impressive today. But I don't know what else we could really hammer on basketball. I'm sure we'll come up with some more things. But what I do want to talk about, and we'll also see what you think here. Alberto Aze and I were talking through the break, but the transfer portal has had some minors enter. You know what I mean? Their names entering in the portal. And I'm just going to reel off some of the ones. There's probably a couple more out there. And if there's not, you know, that's good news at least. But these are the names that that we came across. A.J. Odoms, Kyron Duhon, Amir Boyd Matthews, Jace Hunter, and Luke Sieb. And out of those five guys, you know, in terms of entering the portal, it's just entering the portal. We don't know much else beyond that. But the big one that sticks out right away, or the big ones rather, Kyron Duhon and A.J. Odoms.
Yeah, I mean, those two really, you know, are going to pop out at you on paper. They put up the most numbers, right? A.J. Odoms, even though he didn't play much this year, mm-hmm. last year, yeah. you know, we all know what he was able to do. He was one of the best corners in Conference USA. And then on the other hand, of course, Kyren Duhon, unbelievable true freshman year. He's quick to take advantage of that. I mean, looking for I don't know what he's looking for, right? If it's exposure, brand exposure, you know, maybe more NIL money, better opportunity. Who knows? He'll definitely have some big time schools calling, and those are the two that, you know, you can almost bank on them getting pretty good. You know,
yeah.
I wouldn't say power four interest, but yeah, those bigger schools are going to come looking at them, and then. The big one for me, Amir Boyd Matthews, he was really, really locked down mm-hmm. to end the year for the Miners. He was one of the best, you know, graded players on PFF. And that secondary is taking a big hit, right? You're already losing Corey Chapman, Oscar Moore, and now, you know, you're throwing in A.J. Odoms and Amir Boyd Matthews. Those are four, you know, they can all be starters next yeah. year for this team, and you're going to lose four of those guys, two to graduation, two to the portal. So they're going to need to hit the portal when it comes to that secondary, especially that cornerback room. And all in all, it's been not as bad mm-hmm. as other teams, you know, for UTEP in the transfer portal, but you know, you can almost bet that, you know, you're going to see about five or six more that are, you know, pretty substantial.
Yeah, and UTEP, although these names entering into the portal, UTEP was able to hit the portal, obviously, this past offseason and get some good rewards with Hopkins. So, you know, some insight there. A lot of recruiting being done, and Coach Walden, my bad, stuck on basketball. Scotty Walden, UTEP head football coach, so far developing a really solid recruiting class for this year, building off of that recruiting steam that he had in the offseason once he was hired last year. So, let's get your thoughts, Alberto. UTEP having those guys transfer. Another name I do want to mention, one we came across as well, wide receiver Giovanni Gardier, but transfer portal already with some minor names in it, Alberto.
Yeah, not a whole bunch of minor names, like you guys said. Like, there's a lot of other D1 teams that just, you know, feel ravaged, but mm-hmm. it's really the magnitude of some of the guys that are transferring, like Amir Boyd Matthews and Kyren Duhon. So
yeah,
to me though, it's really going to be interesting. So if you guys remember last offseason, Scotty Walden was able to get Maurice Westmoreland to stay, so it'll be interesting to see how Scotty Walden attacks these transfers to see if he's going to even make an attempt to make them to try to get them to stay or to see what's going to happen. That's what I'm interested in, to see what's the attack plan. Kyren Duhon had a great year. You'd love to see him return. Are you just going to let him walk away, or what's the game plan? And that's what I'm interested in really.
Yeah, and really just seeing, I don't want to say tactics, you know, but seeing more so like the philosophy as to how you're going to keep guys here, and is it a different approach when it comes to the player? Because priorities are always going to be different, you know, for every single person. Everybody just, you know, they're just wired that way. Everybody's not the same for a reason. So it'll be interesting to see what's being done to keep guys and whether or not those guys are going to stay. Sometimes you can stretch out your arm as long as possible, more than it's needed, but you know, it's just not the arm, you know, that they want to continue to hold on to. So it is what it is. Transfer portal is here and it's in effect. A lot of players entering the portal really quickly, because I don't know too much detail beyond it, just kind of, you know, scouring the internet, but New Mexico, man, just faced with a really tough stretch of what, 4 or 5 days or something. I don't know if you guys saw what went on with Bronco Mendenhall all the other day for New Mexico football, but man, is it tough to be a Lobo right now?
It sure is. I mean, you lose your first-year head coach, who, by the way, leads you to a rank win. They were on the verge of a bowl berth. They go 5-7, right? You lose him to Utah State, who is in the same conference as you. And I know they're going to the Pac-12, but at the end of the day, it's Utah State, right, to lose your coach like that. And then you lose your star starting quarterback, Devon Dampier. He hits the portal. Your star running back hits the portal. Your star receiver, Luke Weisong, hits the portal, and not to mention, they've had about 4 or 5 other guys, you know, on the defensive side of the ball hit the portal already. They are getting absolutely gutted, and they didn't even make a bowl game, right? They were 5-7, so all in all, it can always be worse. I always say this when it comes to the transfer portal, and it's yet to be true. It can always be worse, you know, when I'm talking about UT.
Yeah.
You know, it could always be worse. So, you know, just take advantage of what you have. Be grateful to watch guys like Kyren Duhon. I know it stings. It stings for me to watch them leave, and it kind of feels like UTEP's a stepping stone, but that's college athletics, right? You can't do nothing about it. You move on, and you get ready to see who Coach Scotty Walden's going to bring in to replace guys like that.
Yeah, and I guess this theory or this analogy, so to speak, is kind of put into play, not just for UTEP, but more so like the G6 schools for football, and then, you know what I mean, the non the mid-majors, so to speak, for basketball. But, I mean, you can't have – can't have the whole pie, just get a slice of the pie, you know, in that sense. So, no, man, really quickly, too, on Bronco Mendenhall. He's a big Utah guy from Alpine, Utah, and I'm just going to, you know, run down some of these places, but obviously the head coach now at Utah State, but has had stops pretty much Northwest or Mountain West areas, and one of them being Oregon State, Northern Arizona, which, you know, regionally, it's not too far from Utah. But was at BYU for over a decade in various positions, was a positions coach for a defensive backs, and then became the head guy at BYU from 05 to 15. Guy that the Miners played against, too, at the New Mexico Bowl right down the road from us. And, you know, back in New Mexico or the conference, so to speak, last year, and now at Utah State. So a guy who's going about an hour and a half from his hometown. So yeah, man, just some news right there. Wanted to put that out. Speaking of Mountain West, did any of you guys catch the Mountain West chip last night?
I did. I watched it, and I mean, Boise State is the real deal, right? I think they're 12-1 now.
Yeah.
Their only loss is at Oregon by only 3 points.
It was close, yep.
Only 3 points. They lost at Oregon, the number one team in the nation right now. So I know people are going to disrespect them because they're from the Mountain West or Boise State, but we know, everybody knows, right? This is a real deal team. They're going to have a chance to make some noise, and the way it looks right now, they're going to get that first round bye.
Wow.
They're already into, you know, the top, you know, whatever it is. For the college football playoff, which is huge. And, you know, I just, you know, look back to that 2022 game when they came to El Paso and they got, I don't know what that was. That game just keeps getting more crazier by the day. I don't know what happened, but UTEP played their hearts out. They just dominated Boise State. They didn't just beat them at that game. Like, you could tell on the field, like, UTEP was just a bigger, tougher, faster team. And that's, like, that never happens for UTEP. Even when they win, sometimes they look physically outmatched. But in that one, they physically outmatched and manhandled Boise State. And I hold on to that game. I see it in my dreams sometimes.
Shout out Dana Dimmel.
Shout out Dana Dimmel. You know what? That's right. And do want to send our condolences to head football coach, former Miner head football coach, Dana Dimmel. Our condolences to the family, and a guy that a lot of people have a lot of great things to say. Everybody has a different story, and it's a feel-good story. Much love to the Dimmels. Really quickly, guys, before we move on, I'm just going to say some names and tell me what they have in common. All right, here we go. Barry Sanders. All right. Let's see. LaShawn McCoy. Ashton Jeanty. Chris Johnson. What do they have in common?
They're all running backs.
What else do they have in common?
I have no clue. I mean, I know they all had dominant, you know, years in college, right? Is it a 2,000-yard rusher? Is that it?
You know what? Maybe so. I don't know the numbers, but what I'm getting at is, how about they've blessed the Sun Bowl turf?
Okay.
All of those guys stepped foot on the Sun Bowl. Now I'm kind of bragging because some of those guys are obviously NFL big time figures and whatnot. but they played in the Sun Bowl game itself. But Chris Johnson and Ashton Jeanty both stepping on the Sun Bowl. And I'm trying to remember the numbers, but they held him to like 3 yards or something like that. It was only one carry. But if Boise State played that UTEP defense this year, I don't know if Jeanty goes for 200, maybe like 195. But no, he's a beast, but just something I wanted to put out there. But yeah, man, all of that, some pretty fun stuff. UTEP, though, UTEP basketball, let's jump back to that. They get 88 points today over Seattle. We got some awards to give out, guys, and I've kind of been stalling just because so many guys played well today. But we got to come up with guys who are winning these awards, and it will be the Wind Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game Award and the Oscar Arrieta Agency Player of the Game. I'm going to delegate this to the delegation, and we'll start off with the man who's on the boards right now. We'll go with Alberto for the Wind Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game Award. So many guys who caught fire today, but who are we going to hand this one to?
Man, this one's a hard one. The hot hand of the game. I'm going to go with, what if I went with Ahmad Bynum?
Wow.
Should we save him for player of the game? Or what do you guys think?
That's a good one.
That's
There's
the
a
thing. I'm confuzzled.
Zay, let's continue this hot hand of the game award talk, because the player of the game, that's next, and it's probably going to be a little bit harder too. But for Ahmad Bynum, one of the very well deserving names worthy of the hot hand award of the game, what do you think, man? Are we going to go towards Bynum? Are we going to go somewhere else with the likes of Frazier? A guy like Kalu, who had a career high, 5 for 6 from the floor, who's on my fantasy team as well. Just want to throw that out there. So many. Hamilton, 5 for 6. I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah, I mean, I think that for Hot Hand. Wait, so what am I deciding? Am I deciding Hot Hand or player?
So, well, you know you what? Just, that's right.
That's we'll, just, I don't know. Let,
listen, we'll
we're
go
all
back
kind
and
of
forth.
Confused. That's the thing.
We'll okay, all look, do it.
In the second half, Ahmad Bynum, 12 points, 4 or 5 from the field. Sounds like the hot hand. He got hot in the second half.
But in the first half, Derek Hamilton
got 10. And Otis Frazier also had 12 in the first half.
So I feel like just overall, the best player this game was Ahmad Bynum. Like, is that far-fetched to say? I know he had like a really big second half, but overall, like, did you not feel like Ahmad Bynum was just overall the best player on the court?
I would agree. I would say yes.
You know what? Yeah, we'll go with Ahmad Bynum for the Oscar Arrieta Agency Player of the Game. That is Ahmad Bynum. 19 points, 7 for 9, 2 for 2 from the three-point range. And when it comes to free throws, effortless and perfection, 3 for 3, does get one foul, but all of this damage done in 18 minutes. Really great game from Ahmad Bynum. He is the Oscar Arrieta Agency Player of the Game. And then as far as the Wind Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game Award, I know we went reverse, but it's tough, man. These guys are on fire. Otis Frazier, 18 points. Kalu on my team, 13 points. Bynum, we just mentioned him, 19 points. But Hamilton also 12 points to his credit. As far as Hot Hand of the Game Award, I'll put a vote. I think we'll do this. We'll vote. We'll all probably be different, and then we'll just rock, paper, scissors it if it comes down to it. But as far as Hot Hand of the Game, I'm going to go ahead and go with man, I'm biased, man, but I'm gonna go Kevin Kalu.
I'm gonna vote for Otis Frazier.
Otis, all right.
Who are you gonna vote for today?
So I'm the deciding vote, and I could.
No,
really,
you can pick someone
else. Yeah, I know.
Too.
I can pick someone else,
and we'll let someone on Twitter or a caller call in and decide it too if we have to. I mean, this is how close it is, guys.
Wow, I don't know. Hot Hand. Oh man, I think I'm gonna go with Sal. I'm gonna say Kevin Kalu. He gets my vote. I mean,
nice.
Yeah, he was on fire. He was on fire, right? There was like spurts in this game where he was like balling. Like he was balling. It was the best I've ever seen Kevin Kalu play in his career.
Yeah.
And a career day indeed for the big guy from UTEP. Kevin Kalu is your Wind Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game Award. Speaking of hot, I think that's the most, fire type of award we've had in a while when it comes to the decision making, because this was, man, we've done I don't know how many shows, guys, and this this is one of the more memorable award giveaways, so to speak, with just an amazing performance from everybody. But Kevin Kalu is your Wind Supply El Paso Hot Hand of the Game. 13 points, 5 for 6 from the field, 3 for 3 from the line, 4 boards, and all of this in 16 minutes of play. And Kalu...
Two blocks and a steal.
There we go. Yeah. And what do you use for those things? Yeah, you got to use your hands. So
That's true.
No, man. Amazing performance from Kalu. But yeah, man, UTEP powered by Kalu, amongst others, for their 88-72 win. Before we close it out, guys, I do want to give a shout out to the UTEP volleyball team. Was out in Pittsburgh in the first round of the tournament, the NCAA women's volleyball tournament. Miners go out in 5. They're up 2, and we were kind of talking about this through the text thread that we have. But a reverse sweep, Zay mentions it happens a lot in college volleyball, but one where the Miners, you know, they had them right where they wanted them. But it gives you hope for what's to come next year in terms of the talent, you know, the style of play that is only going to get better when that cohesion is going to stick around longer. So, yeah, man, UTEP volleyball, shout out to you all and an amazing season. Shout out to Coach Wallace, Coach Ben Wallace, amazing coach. And we'll see what the future holds for this minor volleyball team.
Yeah, we will. And, you know, in this day and age, player retention, stuff like that, it's so huge. But if most things go UTEP's way this offseason, they'll probably bring in a transfer or two, right? Maybe lose a couple players. But at the end of the day, we know Ben Wallace. He is an absolute, you know, wizard when it comes to both on the court and off the court, when it comes to recruiting, you know, play itself. So I have my full trust in him to be able to run it back. And it's nice to have a winning team, right, mm-hmm. like that, like here at this university. We haven't seen somebody as dominant, you know, a team that's been as dominant as a volleyball team these past couple of years. I mean, they went to the NIVC championship last year and at-large bid in the NCAA tournament. It's nice to have a winner, and just a round of applause for those ladies.
And there was a point in the match, I think it was in set four, if I'm not mistaken, but I don't know the exact points, but it was somewhere where Oklahoma had anywhere from like 17 to 20 points, and the Miners, they were trailing by a decent amount, and they start getting on a roll, and they get about 4 points or 3 or 4 points in a row, and Maddie Gant goes up to serve and gets this amazing, amazing shot, man. It's an ace real close to the line, and, you know, powered the Miners. So you could see some fight in them to close it out, and it definitely gives you hope for the future. And for this team as well, that expected to be in the tournament. And you mentioned the at-large part. It's not by way of the conference championship. They don't even get to that point, and they're still good enough to be there. So definitely deserving of it. Look forward to seeing what they can do next year. But, guys, UTEP gets the win here, 88-72. Before we close it out, Alberto, any other takeaways that you have?
Not much. A great performance, especially on defense. That's really what I'm hanging my hat on, was the defensive performance put on by the Miners. I think if they can really replicate this continuously, they're going to be extremely, extremely successful throughout the season.
All right, Zay.
Yeah, you know, this team, they flexed their depth today. It was nice to see Joe Golding. He coached a really nice game. They played that first half. Probably the best I've seen them play in a while, right? They played really, really good. And just overall, it's an exciting time to be a UTEP basketball fan. There's a lot of potential on this team. And I don't want to get, you know, too attached and thinking this team can do a lot. But like I said, the signs are there. The seeds are planted for this team to play some meaningful basketball when it comes February and March.
Yeah, and for sure the style of play is something that you're going to need going into those dog days of February and March. As you mentioned, defense is what's going to be this this team's go-to, so to speak. It's their
bread
potion.
And butter.
Exactly. It's their potion to get through it all. So UTEP gets the win here today, 88-72 over Seattle. We'll be back at it on Wednesday. This one, it's against Louisville in Louisville, Kentucky, as far as TV goes, ACC Network. But they don't have John Teicher, guys. They don't. We want you to tune in to the guy himself. John Teicher, we'll have the broadcast beginning at 4:30 right here on 600 ESPN El Paso. You can check it out, obviously, on air, but we also have the 600 ESPN El Paso app. We broadcast every single UTEP game on the app as well. So UTEP taking on Louisville at 5. We start at 4:30, and minor talk. Sports Talk will probably be on for 30 minutes, and not even. It's like 20 minutes when you count in breaks and the amazing Charlie One. So, quick Sports Talk. We'll parlay that into the UTEP basketball game against Louisville. And, guys, UTEP closing this one out 88-72 over Seattle. We'll be back at it Wednesday again, 4:30, and it's all right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.